Public Works Committee meeting for Tuesday, September 19th, 2023 at 6:01 p.m. We got in person Alderman Solding and myself and Alderman Merrick on Zoom, and we have staff. I got Brad and Eric.
Rusty.
Okay, and it looks like Rusty also just signed in. So, okay, looks like there's no citizens' comments. Minutes for correction approval for August 15th, 2023. Good, Matt? Rusty?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, we'll call them approved. On to new business. Item 1, PW 2023-72, Briarwood Subdivision Traffic Sign Analysis.
All right, we took a look at three different intersections as requested. Cornerstone Drive at Woodsage Avenue and Garden Streets, and then Greenbrier Road and Cornerstone. The first two are currently unsigned intersections. Just a reminder, we do have a detailed memo in the packets. We do go through and follow the MUTCD guidelines.
Oh, did you hear that entire slide you were at?
Nope, just the last bit.
No, so this happened during city council meeting. So Eric, I don't know if you have your computer on as well.
I do.
Okay, then you can, do you have it on Zoom?
I do.
Okay, so I don't see you here at Zoom.
Yeah, that's Zoom? It said that I had to sign in because I was already signed in on another device when Bart signed in, but the video is still going, so I left it alone.
Okay.
Yeah, he's on the right computer. We can take
okay.
It, so yeah, it goes wrong again.
Sounds good.
All right, very good. So, you know, we follow the MUTCD guidelines when we're evaluating signage. So again, detailed memo in the packets. We looked at each of these three intersections. Cornerstone Drive and Woodsage. You know, the traffic appears to be less than 2,000 units per day. It's fairly low. Don't appear to have any sight distance issues. And therefore, and there's also no accident history in this intersection. So it's our recommendation that we do not add any signage at this location due to those reasons. Doesn't seem to be a good candidate. Woodsage and Garden essentially has the same summary. Again, minimal traffic, no accident history, and no sight distance issues. Greenbrier and Cornerstone, there is an existing stop sign there. Certainly makes sense to continue and have that stop sign there. There is a tremendous amount of traffic on Greenbrier, so no recommended change there. So, be happy to get into any more detail that anybody may want to know.
Okay, so there is a yield sign on a horse, and it
correct.
Belongs to us, I guess. So.
It does.
How did that get there then?
That got there before the parking lot was put in last year. That was kind of a temporary measure.
Before the parking lot?
For the preschool.
Oh, it's at the other end though.
That's where they wanted the yield sign. Because people weren't yielding there. They were leaving there, exiting, and going out that way to Greenbrier Road and weren't stopping, and they were causing near misses.
Okay.
We were asked to put it there.
So you're gonna pull it away now?
We are gonna pull it away now. It doesn't really serve a purpose now. We have had zero complaints since the parking lot went in and the no parking signs now on the north side of Garden Street. And school's been in for good 3 weeks now.
Yeah, that was I think since we eliminated the parking on the one side of Garden, that's helped some of it too, so that's what the questions and concerns came. So.
Yep.
I mean, it is a cut through, but actually slows people down if you put a yield sign. So through. Because what happens is what they do is Greenbrier Road can be hard to get out of because
mm-hmm.
of the stop. You have the red light just down from it,
yep.
So people cut through there and come out. It's easier to get out down further than that's why they use it as a cut through.
Yep, unless you hit school traffic.
Yeah. And I think there's quite a few people that use it, so. But whatever. Okay, it's fine. Anybody else have any questions?
I have none.
Okay.
Great.
Good, Craig. All right. We'll stick with the staff's recommendation findings. Item number two, PW 2023-73, Road to Better Roads 2023 update.
All right, we've got a couple different memos and pieces of information in the packet, and I'll let Brian and Eric go through kind of the updates and the scoring that we've done since the last time you looked at this last year. But in general, we've got three scenarios in the packet. And the plan of action is going to be to ask you to adopt a five-year schedule at our existing $1.5 million annual dollars budget amount, and then revisit this potentially again in a month or two after our audit numbers are back and we've then gone into budget season. So we think that there's a good reason to kind of get the five-year tentative schedule locked in to start some of that work. And then if we can throw more money at it later, we would basically accelerate that schedule sooner and get those runs done in short order here next year. So Brad and Eric, why don't you guys kind of walk through what you were thinking for the multi-year plan?
Yeah, so thank you, Bart. So, yeah, typically we try to bring forth the recommended plan every September. We've done that the last several years. And then, as Bart alluded to, trying to get approval, especially of next year's plan, so we can move ahead and start the design process and then get to an early winter letting. That's the ideal climate for bidding roadway work. So if we were to agree upon next year's street, 2024 streets, we would then bring forth an engineering agreement next month, start the design, and then hopefully be out for letting in January, February timeframe, and then start construction early next year. So there is a recommendation for 2024 that's in the packet. There's a lot of exhibits and what's have you in there, including a PowerPoint presentation. I will try to get to the recommended page, which it is, if you look at your PDF, page number 61, it's probably the easiest one to look at. And the proposed streets for 2024 are in yellow. So that includes some work south of Route 71, basically taking an entire subdivision, Country Hills. And also some work nearby where we just did the stop sign analysis, Ken, in that area. And then there were a couple streets to slide back and pick up that would be not damaged, but you know, there is some patching and what have you done with this year's water main program. So we're trying to pick up and catch some of those streets as well. The other thing to note, which you know, we haven't fully gotten 100% grasp on yet, you might see some yellow, but with some dashed black lines through that. Well, those are the water main replacement area streets. Most likely, we will have to replace the water main and put it within the street. In the past practice here for the last several years is that if we're going down the middle of a street, there's going to be enough damage.
Sounds like we lost it.
Yeah, you're muted
yeah.
again, guys.
How about
now? Yep, yeah, I got you. All right. So I was just commenting on the yellow streets with a dash, black dash through them. So those are the planned 2024 water main replacement streets. So most likely we will be resurfacing those as a part of the water main replacement project. They're in the older part of town. Typically, there's a lot of issues outside the right-of-way, so most likely the logical points will be right down the middle of the street. So in addition to the planned, you know, $1.6 million plus or minus on the road program, there will be some additional paving as part of the water main replacement program. And then subsequently, we have additional years planned out. As Bart alluded to, one option would be just to continue the funding at the 1.6, 1.7 dollar value mark. The second option would be starting in 2025, a higher commitment to repaving streets. If you recall, we have a lot of subdivisions coming due that were built in the early 2000s. You know, Bristol Bay being one, Heartland Circle, many, many others. I think there's a half a dozen or more that we looked at. So option two basically elevates the funding from about 1.6, 1.7 to 3.5 to almost $4 million for the subsequent 4 years. So a significant increase, but it does accomplish getting all those subdivisions complete within the 5-year window. So very high level overview. Certainly we can go into more detail if you would like. There's a lot of information in the packet. I'd be happy to take it wherever you'd like us to go.
Yeah, I just had a question because we had actually talked about like Colton Street. We were doing the sidewalks last year, and I think we put that off because of this.
With the street project.
So this is, will that be completed mm-hmm. with that project?
The correct. Yes. Okay. Yes.
A lot of complaints about the sidewalks in
that little area. Yeah.
The airport.
Yeah. So, it sounds like, so what we're going to be doing here would be for next year, we'd do the 1.6, like you mentioned, for sure. And then, so what would it take the city council for the future after that? The 1.6 and then the discussion to go higher? Is that?
Yes.
So when we, the next time we vote on this at the city council, we'll vote on the 1.6 across for 5 years out. And then after that, at some point, we would bump you up, or would you want to bump it up and vote on that? I'm just trying to get a feel for
what
you got.
Yeah, no, I think what Bart was talking about too is once we find out where the audit lies and where we're at in budget season, kind of putting together something a little more detailed closer to that time. But the 1.6 for next year is that's what we're really looking for.
And you need to do that by what council meeting?
Well, ideally, we next Public Works Committee in October, we bring forth an engineering agreement so we could then start the design to move forward with designing the
2024.
The 2024.
Yeah. Okay.
Only.
Yes.
I thought maybe you were trying to get 2024 on the council agenda now.
It will next month.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. No, that's what I was getting at.
Yeah.
Typically, what we do is we ask you to just take a motion to approve this next year's plan, and then at the next Public Works meeting, Brian brings that engineering agreement. So the timing of it, though, is going to work out. I think we're doing our audit presentation on October 22nd or whatever that one is, and October 24th. So, you know, we'll know right after that. So you're talking about beginning of November and then mid-November. By the time that Public Works rolled around, is having a recommendation as to how much of the subdivision cluster or just our future, road plans we plan to accelerate and increase, next year's budget from 1.6 million to maybe it's 2.5. So that option two that's in there, which I neglected to mention, is a scenario where we take all the subdivision cluster roadways and just do them on a pay-as-you-go basis, so you understand what the financial ramifications are of that. So basically, that's like the worst-case scenario as far as the spending plan goes. And that's anywhere from $3 million to $4.5 million, somewhere in there, over the five-year period. So, are we going to be able to fund those in full without a revenue increase? Probably not. That's kind of what we talked about under our policy decisions during last year's budget. But, you should be able to go from the 1.6 that we've got approved, to a higher number after the audit numbers are finalized.
And if we went all the way, we're talking like $20 million for the whole five-year plan, probably. We're close to that. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right.
Matt, Rusty?
I got nothing.
Rusty?
I don't have any questions.
Okay, do you have anything else?
Yeah, I have one more. So over here on Sunset and Prairie, that's complete repave of the road, and so with all the work done on Pleasure and Georgiana, Township's gonna replace those streets?
We're gonna look to work with them. Could either get on their their paving schedule or there's on ours the same.
That was going to be my question. Is it going to be staged or is it all going
to
be?
No, we're going to hope to do it all at once. Just kind of save money with the township.
So in the meantime, right now, the patching crew should be starting?
They're supposed to be starting this week, but obviously with the rain, it's a little.
And that's just going to be one, because I know I was talking with Craig about this just the other day or whatever, because I know I had some people that reach out to me,
right,
and I don't like that they were, it's not his fault, so. and so this is just going to be not even a full first layer, it'll just be patches?
For this winter.
Yeah, okay. They'll bring it up to grade, to final surface grade this year. And then next year they'll come in and mill it and then put a new surface coat on.
Okay, so it's like an initial coat and then next year will be the final top.
Yes.
Okay. Anything else? Okay.
Do you guys want to move this forward to, for the council to see?
Sure. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. No other questions. We'll move on to item 3, PW 2023-74, East Van Emmon Street STP Design Engineering Agreement.
All right. So we did this a couple years back. I think it was Cannonball Trail, or maybe a different road. West Cannonball. Thank you.
Bristol Ridge.
Bristol Ridge. Thank you. Where we basically are on a grant B list for road repaving. And then as projects get completed, they kind of move you up the list. And so we're getting closer to the top of the list. And so in order to actually do the grant project and resurfacing when we are on the list, we need to do some design engineering work. So this is design work that's going to be good for a few years, which should more than cover our anticipated timeline to get the grant. So we've got a design and preliminary engineering services contract with EEI for $51,000 and change. And without doing this, we can't basically accept a grant when it comes in. So this will take us all the way through design phase so that when we do get the grant, we can go to bid and get the work done soon thereafter.
Okay. Matt, Rusty, any questions?
I got nothing. Yep, straightforward. How long do you anticipate for us to be approved for the grant, and how long will this contract be good for, the engineering be good for? Exactly. Like, how much kind of a buffer do we have?
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so right now it's planned for 2025 or 2026 construction. So the engineering would certainly last that long. If anything, it would be some minor updates, dates, or a couple of details or standards were to change. So it doesn't take a whole lot to update that, the engineering plans, if we have to.
All right.
Yeah, that was my only one question too. I was just wanting to make sure that this would be good a couple years, since we don't know we're getting it next year for sure.
Yes,
yet.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. What do we need to do with this? Does this need to go to council?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Let's just put it on a regular agenda, what do you think? Yeah, put on a regular agenda for council. Would that be the next council meeting or
October? 9/26.
Huh?
9/26.
9/26, okay. Item 4, PW 23-75, water audits and non-revenue reduction design engineering agreement.
Okay, this is something we're going to have to do every year as part of our Lake Michigan allocation permit. We have to figure out where we are in relationship to generally 10% water loss, and then make recommendations to get under that dollar amount. Requires some annual reporting too, just to make sure that we're following up on things. So our first year is going to require maybe a little bit heavier lift than it will in subsequent years, because we have to come up with different plans. And so our first year's contract is an estimated value of $40,000 based on hourly rates. And so they're going to go through and do the calculations that are required as part of that report process. And also so we can track how close to 10% or less we are in non-revenue water loss, which then could impact our water main schedule for the next several years, depending on what we're doing in the capital side of the budget. So that is the recommendation. We do need this approved by City Council.
Any questions? Matt, Rusty?
Nope. No questions here.
All right, I'll be a full council, right, in case somebody else, or spending money. So yeah, we'll send this to the council and for regular agenda. Item 5, PW 2023-76, 2023 sewer lining contract award.
All right, we took bids the last day of August on the 2023 lining. Several bidders bid the project. All came in below our estimate. We are recommending award to the low bidder, Innovative Underground, happens to be out of Yorkville, in the amount of $264,460, and be happy to address any questions.
And great. Matt, Rusty, got anything?
Nope.
Okay. I guess on to city council, and with the amount, probably should be regular agenda too. Okay, item 6, PW 2023-77, Riverwalk Route 47 Crossing Preliminary Engineering Agreement.
All right, so we have a preliminary engineering agreement from EEI proposed for a fixed fee of just under $30,000. That would do what we've never done before, which is actually do some thinking and design work on a Route 47 crossing. So this could be Riverwalk under the bridge. Could be a pedestrian overpass somewhere over Route 47, basically prohibiting people from, you know, trying to run across Route 47 at hydraulic, even though there's an island there. So when IDOT came through and expanded Route 47 in the downtown, they took out those crosswalks and those issues there, with the hopes that pedestrians would then use the east and west Van Evan crossing instead. But in practice, people are not doing that, and so we'd like to just study to see whether it's feasible to even construct at a later date with funds, including potential grant funds. So this is kind of the first project in probably a few more, I think, that we're going to propose part of next year's budget, just to be grant ready. We've had a number of parks and recreation, trail grants, Safe Routes to School grants, that we've looked at, seen, and that have been offered, but we just haven't had the design work together to be able to, you know, be grant ready when an actual grant opens, to be able to, you know, speak with some authority and knowledge about what we want to do and how much it costs and, you know, how we're going to do it. So this would get us to, you know, multiple options, some cost estimates, etc., and might, you know, uncover some things about whether it's more or less difficult than we anticipated. So that is the recommendation for $29,700. It does need city council approval.
Matt, Rusty?
Hey. I don't have any questions on it.
Neither do I.
Chris, yeah, I'm sorry I missed over. I should have asked you on the other things. How about this one? Do you have any questions?
I don't have any questions. The only thing I was going to think about is if we do get a planning session, is this something maybe we want to chat about if we do a goal setting, kind of understand what our objectives would be for the downtown and some of those options? I understand this is the preliminary kind of early engineering to understand feasibility, but my question would be, you know, what's the thought of what do we want to achieve with this in the big picture? So
yeah.
That's my only thought.
Yeah, understood. The assumption is just that we need to come up with some options for Route 47 crossing, given what I think a few of you have probably seen during some of the downtown festivals, and that's just giving people a more convenient and potentially more picturesque way to cross Route 47, depending on what we're doing. So, you know, there's a bit of an aesthetic and recreational amenity component to it, just to see if it's even feasible. But if we start doing the work and decide, you know, oh, it's going to be physically impossible because, I don't know, IDOT is going to change the bridge in 30 years, or, you know, the bridge can't support, you know, an underpass, those types of things, you know, then we would at least be able to speak, you know, with some knowledge the next time somebody brings up the concept. So it definitely is a brainstorming, high-level cost estimate is the entire, just to see if we need to then orient any of our downtown planning efforts around it in the near future.
Does So, Chris, because I kind of skipped over you by accident on any of the other previous items, did you have any questions with any of those?
No, Ken, I appreciate it, but those are all pretty straightforward.
Okay. And I would be on board with the goal setting as well. We haven't done that. We should be doing it. But. Okay. Move on to item 7, PW2023-78. Dump truck price increase.
Well, it's not like we haven't heard this before. But this
Hey, hold on one sec.
Yep.
Just want to confirm. Are we keeping that on the standard PW agenda?
Yes.
For 6.
That will be a
okay.
That'll be a sticky item at the top of the post.
Okay. That's what I thought. Thank you.
Unfortunately, yeah. This is actually on a small dump truck. It's the F550 that we ordered in May. And this was no fault of anybody but the manufacturer. Ford decided to stop making the 23s and start making the 24s, and with those came a price increase. So if we want to hold our price in line, we pay the $3,870, I believe, for the difference, and we just move on. Now, I don't know what the UAW strike right now may do to this, but at this time, this is all they have said. So just looking for the increased price of $3,870, which brings the total to $124,984.
I have to know that this is the first time we've ordered a truck from this company?
No, this is the first small one. We've ordered our other dump trucks from this company.
And have there been price increases on those?
Not on the Mack. On the Peterbilt, as everybody knows, through Peterbilt there was, but not on the Mack we ordered through them. No price increase.
This was
Ford, yeah. And the vendor has actually held their price on the body and the body building on all the trucks so far. No price increase on it.
Matt, Rusty, Chris, questions?
Nope. Does this push back the date that we received the truck from?
Absolutely. That's a good point. Thank you. Sorry about that, Rusty. They will not give us a date right now because they will not even give a date to when they're going to start producing 24s.
So could we see another one then on top?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's,
yeah, until we get it, there's no guarantees.
Yeah. And this is like this, he had to make this same call 35 times. He had 35 orders he had that were 23s that didn't get put in the slot for a build that he had to call and say, we now have to go to 24s because Ford just shut down and is changing lines. They were kind of at their mercy right now. And I have a feeling it's going to be even more at their mercy if this strike goes on for any length of time.
That's what I'm thinking.
So I say we hold our place in line at least for this one and see what we get. And if they come back and say it's going to be 18 months or a year, maybe we go try to find one on the lot. You know?
So, but you have looked on lots.
Yes, sir. Okay. They're more expensive.
Okay.
For a lesser quality product.
Yeah, I think we probably have to do this. What do you think, Greg?
I mean, you don't want to say $4,000 is significant, but it's really not that.
In the grand scheme of things, it's not. It's just maddening. Yep, it's maddening and a time waster because we're going to be pushed back so far.
Well, I guess we can go forward to council with this. I don't want to put this on the consent because I want to let Dan have a chance to
collect. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm sure he's going to chime in. That drives him crazy. So.
It drives me crazy as well, and believe me, it gives me no pleasure to bring this in front of you guys every time.
So
you might just want to tell him to call Dan first, and then he'll let you know from now on, Eric.
So. Yep, that would be perfect.
Yeah, that would be nice to know that. What if you go on consent then? But I think probably this time let's put on regular and then.
Sure.
We'll go from there.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay. That's all. No old business. Any additional business? I do have one item. So Eric, you talked about you're getting rid of some trees there. Were Greenbrier Road tees?
At the entrance of Sunflower, actual by the sign there, they're gone now.
Okay. Well, while you're there, they must have went today or yesterday or something.
Monday. Yep.
Yeah. So, in the right of way, right behind the sign, there's a big, huge dead tree. Can we get that one removed?
I will certainly take a look at that. See if I don't know if we can do it. We may have to have somebody take that one out.
Because that is our right. That's the right of way. And I remember I talked with Bart a while back because a resident was maintaining. They're moving their grass back into there, and they don't think they can do it anymore. So I was asking Bart about who maintains that right-of-way. And that tree is, it's half of it's down already. It's pretty dead-looking. And we have the signs right there where
I know, where are you talking? So.
And I did have people mention it to me coming in, and they wanted to know what was up with that.
So. Yeah, we'll see if we can get her down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's only one tree.
Only one dead one, but we'll see if we can thin it out a little bit there too, maybe.
Okay, whatever you think.
To get back to the dead tree.
Okay, yeah. Any other additional business?
The only thing I had is I received a text and a call about the traffic backing up for Parkview. Backing up onto 47.
Onto 47 in conjunction with grade school traffic and everything else.
Yeah.
I think I'll have to talk to Jim on that too and see if there's a traffic pattern we can come up with, because as Parkview has no buses. That's all parent drop off.
Right.
So my suggestion, and I'll talk to Jim, but my suggestion may be just a little staggered start so it's not everybody all at once. Because they're coming backside of King Street all the way down Sominok, and then they're coming in Sominok the other way, and nobody's making the zipper and letting people turn.
To add something to that, because I hit that every morning. And what you're seeing also happen, the school buses come down and they will not deviate and get over into the left turn lane before they get the yellow sign where they can turn in. So you get all these cars lined up and you get a buses trying to squeeze in there. So now they're hanging out on the one straight through lane.
Yep.
And so then you get cars on a straight through lane cutting over to try to get around the buses that are sticking out. And I've noticed it a lot, especially in the last week or two, it seems it's gotten even worse.
It's gotten even worse, yes. I would agree. And we can't leave our shop. Like, we literally sit at the end of Tower Lane because it's a parking lot. So, yes, I will talk to Chief Jensen and see if we can talk to Parkview and kind of work out a traffic plan.
Yeah, I don't know how the buses, they must pull up and try to edge. Because I would think, okay, if they're going to do that, they should.
Don't get me started on.
No, well, I'm saying that why didn't they, maybe we really can't do that, but why wasn't that like...
Yeah, we can't put the stacking any further back because Tower Lane's right there.
Huh?
Because Tower Lane's right there, and then we also have a stacking lane for Church Street. So they kind of meet right there, the kind of lane stack.
Right, but so the left turn lane, why couldn't it serve two streets and be out further so the buses could get in sooner?
Well, let me draw it on a piece of paper for me.
Okay.
And see what.
Because
I'm just not following.
What's that? What's the little street before you get to Sominok? There's a little. It's just that it dumps you out on Parkview's yard.
Oh, that's Springs.
Yeah. Well, so the buses won't turn anywhere before that. So
right.
They go past it, and then but the cars are. So why not just have one longer lane?
I see what you're saying.
And then the buses could get over in their lane then. I don't know, talk to Chief about it.
I will. I think the left turn on 47 is because you can't, there's a turn lane for Spring Street East. They meet right there. That's why. And actually the turn lane for Sominok is very short stacking because of that turn lane for Spring Street.
Right. Okay. That's
what
something
that
I always wondered about.
Yeah, that's exactly what that is.
People go to turn on Sominok, mistake, and try to turn on Spring.
Either that or they sit in the left turn for Spring Street as a left turn for on Sominok.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
It backs all the way up.
Yeah. That's a good topic for now.
Yeah, no, I will talk to Jim.
Okay. Any other additional business? Matt, Rusty?
Oh.
Chris? Me, Bill. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, then... I have a meeting adjourned at 6:35.